Got to explain this a little bit. For people who don't know how disability works, and there's a lot of people that just don't, my case manager always says is people are just naive. They don't take the time to understand. They don't take time to educate themselves, and they just don't understand disability in general. And that's like she says, the general public. People don't get it. They don't understand. They don't know what's involved. Disability isn't just like, here you go, you know? And people who sit there like, oh, people enjoy being on disability. Who the heck enjoys being on disability? You're on disability? You don't make, people think it's like you make millions of dollars or something. Oh, it's all this. No, it's not. No, it's not. In fact, you know, I'm going to say this because I can't say it enough until my last dying breath. I still worked when I was forced by a training doctor who trained at a hospital, a physician, a superior to be exact, of a large medical group. I was forced at the end of the day to go on disability because I was asked three times, I need you to go ahead and start the disability process because you're getting sick, you're having seizures, you're ending up in the ER, you're with clients who are driving around, and I know it. I know about it, and I'm a doctor. This could cause me problems. I could lose my license if something happens. I kept working. I said, I don't want to go on disability. I like my job. I love my job. I want to keep working. I was also promoted at that time. I knew I was getting promoted. I was making six figures. Who in the right cuckoo frame of mind would go from six figures to chump change? Because people who think you get a lot of disability, you don't. Sorry, you don't. You don't. You know, in fact, I just have to educate people because people need to be educated because people can be very naive, not understand, don't get it. At the end of the day, it was like third time, and I knew something was up because I was getting really sick. I had a major surgery. I never really bounced back from it. After that surgery is when a fragment, microscopic fragment, was left behind from an ovary, and things started getting crazy. It took 7 years for the organ to regenerate and grow. Miraculously, and then a cancerous tumor grew off of the ovary. That's the truth. So was that treating physician doctor right? Yes. Should I have gone on disability? Well, hell yes. Would I have been able to work? Hell no. Mentally? Yeah. Physically? No. Job required physically. Truth. It's just I don't think people really understood the full story, and I just want to make sure the story is clear. Okay, clear. There's a lot of things need to be set clear, period. You know, I'm in a different part of my journey. I'm going to say, too, what I realized the trauma therapy is, it, first of all, it works. Second of all, you don't come out the same person. Lastly, when you go through things in life, you don't come out the same person. But good therapy will change how you handle serious matters in life. And you'll realize in life, too, that emotion gets you nowhere. Logical thinking does. Emotion does nothing but cause emotion. It's wasted energy, spent energy, and time. Valuable, precious time. And when you realize a point in your life, when you get older, life is fragile, it's precious, it's short, and it's valuable time. Don't waste your time. Don't argue with people. You can say your piece, you can say, you know, your truth, and then you move on, okay? You file folder. You need to get things off your shoulders, things you go through in life that you always want to say, you know, with somebody or someone's or whoever, you know, trials and tribulations, say it. When you get a chance to say it, you move on. You know, that's how my therapy works, and everybody's therapy is different. You may be going to therapy and you learn a different way of life and how handling problems, and that's fine too, because every therapist's different. I'm talking about my personal experience with trauma therapy going on 2 years, actually next couple of months. Has it served me well? Yeah, it served me well. It has, definitely. But for people who think like disability is, no. It explains how difficult everything has been. I was given a work permit, I'm going to say this again, 2 years ago. It was about 2 years, maybe less than 2 years. When you go through a work permit, you have to go through all the paperwork. You have to go through hearings and things, and some a lot of times you don't have to be present. It's just a decision, a federal disability. Different types of disability exist. You got temporary disability, you got workman's comp, you got disability. You've got disability like I am, where they realized through judiciary federal hearing, and you have all these expert witnesses in that from federal government come in, and I did. I had, what, seven? At least seven each time, the hearings. either go physically or you can have a e-hearing. It's like an e-visit, you know, you do hearings online, video hearings. They go through your medical facts, not what somebody thinks, okay? We're talking medical facts. And then the experts will look through all your records, medical facts. And that's where decisions are made. And then the opinion of the federal judge, judiciary judge, decides things. Okay, when I was given my temporary work permit less than 2 years, well, about 2 years ago, okay, I wasn't as advanced with progression with the tumor, with secondary problems, and not getting into that. When I went back recently and said, listen, you know, I want to go back on that work permit program, I wasn't, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm having a brain freeze. It didn't apply to me. It wasn't, it's not apply. What's the word I'm looking for? Oh my Lord, everybody's probably saying it right now. Was it qualified? Well, you know what I mean. I couldn't get into that program anymore. And the reason is it's not that easy, first of all, for people to think you just go back to work. Well, you should just go back to work. You can't do that, okay? You can't do that. People are foolish to get sued. Don't assume things, okay? Makes an ass of you. Don't assume things, okay? I'm not speaking emotionally, I'm speaking logically. Don't assume things about people. It makes an ass out of yourself. Don't do that. You gotta educate yourself first before you say anything like that. That's crazy. Because my ass would be working. In fact, I went back because of the situation, you know, with the marriage and stuff, and I'm gonna be on my own. And I went back. I'm like, listen, I need to go back on the program. It wasn't available. It wasn't an option. Because my health changed. How did they know? Because disability pulls your records from all your specialists, all the hospital specialists, all oncology, all the scans, imaging, yada, 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 okay? That's what happened. And they deemed, no, because of progression through oncology, things are worse. You're under palliative care, you weren't before, okay? You have a choice, hospice or palliative care. Palliative care is just you're able to have more options in hospice. That's the truth. I wasn't able to get on that work permit program. I'm still not able to. This is where you force a hearing with a judiciary judge and you go over everything you're going through. I mean everything. This is everything. This picture is everything. Everything. What's going to come out of it? Well, I'm not going to know. Indiana, Ohio disability attorneys, because I moved, you have to have different, you know, disability attorneys because you're not in the same residence where your disability happened. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. It's not up to me. It's up to the judge. And that's the thing is you're not going to know right there on the spot either. It could take up to 60, 90 days for a decision. I'm demanding that I be able to go back to work. I'm asking just not to be disabled. Am I going through real health struggles? Yes. Why am I asking? Because I need to work. Why? I don't have a choice. I don't have a choice. Okay? I'm not asking people to buy me a house. I'm not asking people to buy me a rental. I'm going into a lease and I'm going into a mortgage loan with myself, not as marital status, because I don't have that anymore. I have to go in solo, and I'm not able to do it. So unless I'm a millionaire, then yes, I guess money would buy me a house. It would be a situation. It'd buy me a rental. Okay, I'm not a millionaire, and many, many people in this world right now, in the United States especially, well, hell, all around the world, aren't either. Okay, but when you're going through disability and they realize that what you're going through and the result is death and the permanent, now you're really screwed because I've realized that the work permit program I was on is no longer an option. It's not available to me because things have changed. Because your physicians and your specialists get questionnaires and they have to provide reports when federal disability comes knocking on the door and asking for updates and that. They don't care if you have a good day and you can dance in the rain, you could cut the grass, you could do cartwheels, okay? They don't care about that. Everybody is going to have good days and bad days, okay? That's life. Doesn't matter if you're Jimmy Carter, okay? Everybody thought he passed away already, still in hospice. Good days and bad days. Is people don't understand, unless you've really dealt with illness, you're still going to have your good and bad days. There's days you can do things and days you're not, okay? But your bad days, when things progress, outnumber your good days. And it's a slow process, and it happens. I don't have the good days anymore like I did. I'm going about 2 days out of the week good days. That's the truth. Just last year, I would say half the days were good days. I'm not there anymore. When I feel anxiety, though, the meds that I'm on that help me to live my best life don't work. Because when you start getting into this fight or flight mode and you have anxiety, whether, you know, and it's usually stress or somebody brings it on or something, your meds don't work. And I'm not going to live like that. If I feel anxiety or if I don't feel emotional support, or I don't, you know, whatever, or there's going to be conflict, whatever, I don't care who I'm talking to, who I'm texting, who I'm conversing with, who I'm staying next to, I gracefully just exit. There's no argument or anything, you just exit, because I don't have anxiety to give because my meds don't work. It was challenged over the past week, and it's right, they don't work. Okay, I don't want to be like that. I'm not going to suffer unnecessary. It's stupid. You know, I'm dumb. It's just not walk away, not argue with people, think logically. You file folder conversations and bring them up again and move on. It's done, you know? That's life. We can't respond off of emotion as human beings, and I've done that. I'm an empath. I've done that throughout my life. We all have, but you can't keep living like that. And you can't live like you used to live, you know? Things aren't working for you. They don't work, you know? Well, don't repeat it then. If it didn't work for you, your approach didn't work for you, then don't do it, you know? I'm not the same person. I'm not. But this is really tough. I'm back in that situation, you know? I'm going to say this again. There's a lot of people out there that are homeless. And I'm not talking about drug addicts. I'm not talking about people that came out of the prison system and can't find anywhere. I'm not talking about alcoholics. I'm talking about real families and real people, real couples. We end up homeless. The situations that we really wouldn't know about, we wouldn't think about would happen, but they're happening. It's real, okay? It's real. I have to go in front of a hearing next month with this folder and everything. I mean, everything. That's a lot of everything, isn't it? Because it's everything. I'm not going to go to a major hearing without everything I got that needs to be said. It's not just a statement. It has to be fact for attorneys. Everything. I have to demand and ask to get a work permit or just deem me undisabled. Will federal government allow that, to deem you undisabled? As attorneys said, you're asking for a lot, a tall order. They don't want to say what the outcome will be because, as I said, it's not up to us. No attorney. It's up to the judge. And judiciary judges are very high rank. They're very well respected, you know. In government, I don't know what's going to happen out of it, you know. I'm homeless. I end up homeless. I can't get in the situation and get out and get the help I need. Well, I mean, my pets go with me. If I have kids, they go with me too. It's life, you know. I realized like yesterday, I got to get sleep. I got to change my sleep schedule. I've realized that actually over the past 3 days. And I have. And it hasn't been easy. But I'm realized, you know what? You do good for yourself, reward yourself. I reward myself today. Fannie Mae. Chocolate mint meltaway. Is that what they are? Take a little picture. Those are good. You got to reward yourself. Something I can. Fannie Mae candy doesn't bother me. Used to be able to do Hershey bars. I don't know what it is. Your body changes your chemical makeup and things like that when you get older anyway. But when you're taking medicine and you're under different care in that and you have, you know, things going on and God, let's face it, ovarian tumors, ovarian cancer, any type of cancer affects your hormones, even with men, throws your whole system off. You become like super hypersensitive and what you can and cannot tolerate in food changes, but you have to reward yourself. You do good, reward yourself, you know? And this evening I'll reward myself, pat on the back. You know what? I could have handled conversations and things and indifferences like I used to, you know? Everybody argues, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not doing that. I wish people well, good night, have a good evening. I'm not doing that. And then you just don't bring this stuff up again. Why? You know, everybody, you know, you do that in life. You just keep bringing up the same old song and dance. And you think like, why am I doing that? It's such a waste of energy. If they think of it logically, when you start thinking of everything logically, before you catch yourself emotionally responding, like, oh, nope, there I go. I do that. I'm about ready to emotionally respond. That never worked for me. Nope, not doing it again. I think logically. You know, if you can't find emotional support from people or people who should be, whether it's a parent, parents, whatever situation, a totem pole, and you don't have emotional support, you don't have that, I'm here for you, and people would call me talking to you, and you're able to, and you don't bring up anything emotional, you don't bring up problems, you don't bring up anything. You take that, you make a phone call, you go on organizations, you go on support groups, things like that. I met another good soul out in the world, actually a couple of ladies, over the last, this Thursday, who have given me tools and power, you know? I say ladies, we pass along power, I mean wisdom, and help. And being part now of a different kind of support group with women, you know, and empowering each other. And that's a amazing tool of life. I'm not talking about like therapy I go through, that's different. We're talking about support groups and, you know, meeting one-on-one and having that physical support. And I'm realizing, you know, it's like, you don't have to have kids to connect with other ladies and women. And I always felt my life, and this is where I'm going to say emotionally, felt like I was indifferent. I wasn't viewed as a woman or a lady by other women, fellow women, because I didn't have kids. And it was never because I didn't want them. I went through reproductive and all that and surgery to have kids, and I wasn't successful. I was given 2 weeks to get pregnant after having a fallopian tube that was closed, repaired. I was in a very, I'm going to say this, not healthy relationship. I'm realizing my track record and not choosing wisely and where it's coming from, their behavior. I'm doing that with trauma therapy behind the scenes privately. But I'm realizing the flags and making healthy choices, and that it's always going to be a learning process, and we're never too old to learn. But I decided not to get pregnant. I didn't want to bring a child in the world knowing I was going through this not healthy relationship. I didn't get pregnant. I couldn't do it. As desperately as I wanted kids, because I always wanted families, 3 boys, 3 girls, you know, 6 kids, I was wise enough then at my age as to not get pregnant. I went through all that work and surgery to be repaired, what needed to be repaired reproductively to have kids. But being in a highly abusive, toxic-ass relationship, not making good decisions with men, even back then, that I could not do that to a child. I realize now I'm proud of myself, now that I'm older, because I'm like, wow, you know, you got to clap for yourself. That's not being arrogant. That's being good to yourself and loving yourself. And I realize, you know, I'm so glad I didn't decide to get pregnant regardless of that relationship. That would have been so unfair to a boy or girl, or probably multiple, because I always use an IDF. And they use multiple eggs. I would have had triplets or twins, or heck, you know, if 4 eggs would have took her 5, it was like 4 or 5 of the planet, you know. Yeah, I couldn't have done that. You know, that's when you realize you would be a damn good mother, you know. It's a selfless act, and that was a hard decision for me, but that's the truth. And I've talked about it a little bit, but not to the degree that I am right now. But next month is going to, like, really is a big game changer, as I don't know what the hearing will end up coming out to be. And I don't know, and it's really up to the judge of how long the decision's made. They're gonna have a lot to look at, a lot of factors, and there's gonna be a lot of things brought up and a lot of things that need to be addressed at the same time as well. It's been a long time coming, you know? But I need to be able to work. I know physically I'm limited. Podcast is a capability and allows, you know, for monetary gain. With Converse, it allows you monetary gain. And that's why Converse is not, you can't purchase or do anything I can't right now, because I got to wait. I approached the program that I was under for temporary work permit, and that was 3 years. And I'm not, obligated to it. I'm not qualified for it. I just can't do it. And that was a decision with my specialist, because not only just their letters back, but they go by where your health is now, scans and things like that. They look at facts too. So sorry, we can't give it to you. Now I'm in a situation like, listen, I need it, you know? I don't want anybody to ever think I didn't ask for help, even though I always never wanted to, because I'm like, I know when I do, it's always going to be an argument and things like that. It's going to be same song and dance. And I don't want to keep going down the same song and dance road. And you realize, you know, some people just say, no, you know, you're not going to get the help, you know, and I'm going to be selective who I ask for help. It's not the public's responsibility. I'm not asking the public to help. I did, because my mother said you should ask the public. I was not comfortable. I felt weird about it. This podcast is entertainment. It's a life journey. It's my life journey. It's a collaboration of other people's journeys, companies, things like that. I wasn't comfortable asking the public for help, and I shouldn't have. And that's why I'm not asking, and I don't anymore. That's not a public's responsibility. I'm not going to get into whose it is or who were the help or whatever. I'm not. That's nor here nor there, and it's not going to matter at this point. It's over water under and over the bridge and gone. I have to be able to have a very strong case, as I was told, which we have, the attorneys, and a very strong hearing next month. Now, they give you an hour. You can't go over it for obvious reasons because there's multiple hearings daily, and let's just face it, I don't know where I'll stand, you know. I'm looking at worst case scenario right now. I'm very pessimistic how things are going to go down, you know. I'm prepared to do what I have to do, and it may be a situation where I'll be living that's not going to be good. It's probably not healthy for me, but I'm not going to have a choice, you know. I don't know. Where I was going with this podcast is, you know, talking about emotionally responding to things in life, for people in life, and logically responding to people and things in life, and they're like yin and yang, and the end result of how you handle life problems, if you go emotionally in, you know, we all have done that, I've been guilty of it, and you have to grow, evolve, and learn, and change, and mature as an adult, and not do it and go in logically, you know, and you seek different avenues and ways and means, you know, no matter what you need help with in life. So many people I've talked to over the months, you know, have always had that same outlook like I have. It is why I ask people for help, you know. It's a pride thing, but I'm not going to get the help anyway, so what am I going to help me? That's a mentality that's sad, that is now just a way of life in the United States, is people are afraid to ask for help because when they do, they're being chastised, belittled, or they're not getting the help, or the help's not there. Organizations, I'm going to say this again, organizations, no matter what your organization, if you own an organization, are strapped for money. Organizations survive and they live and they thrive based off of donations, and let's face it, everybody's struggling one way, shape, or form. What is it, October, next couple of months, when the payments for college loans go back, and now all of a sudden those people who thought they won't have to pay their payments and basically just froze because of COVID are having to pay them again, and the cost for groceries, you barely get anything, it's like $100 is normal grocery bill. Everybody's struggling. These organizations are too. Donations are not like they used to be. It's lose-lose all around. The people are afraid to ask for help. I'm going to say this to the people out there listening to this, you're afraid to ask for help, because I've been there. And I felt like that way recently, over the past week. Still ask for help. Try one more time. You ask for help from the same people. If they fall on a totem pole, whether that's a parent or parents or a situation, and you didn't get help before, but you're asking for specific help, give it one more time. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with it. Some people may say, try one time, that's it. Okay, you're entitled to how you feel. I'm just saying it from a logical standpoint of how I was, you know, through therapy learning, is you try one more time. Let time go by. You hope people sit back and think about things and, okay, they're asking for help and this is why. Let's not think emotionally. Let's think of how I can help them and why they're asking for help. Okay, and you approach it again. If conversation goes on, you know, dead air, dead space, it goes nowhere, then you tried. Okay? Be proud of yourself if you try a second time around, because you're swallowing your pride, first of all, asking a second time around for people, and when you need help. If they're a parent or parents, wherever they fall on the totem pole, be proud of yourself that you took your ego aside, your pride, and you asked for help again. Okay, it didn't work out. Don't be mad about it. It's not your fault. You know, people, I mean, I'm going to say it, people have a right to their decisions. Whether it's right or wrong, it doesn't matter. People are people. In some situations, should people help people? Yes. Should it be questionable? No, it should just help. But you can't force people to do things. You can't force people to change. You can't force people, when you ask for help, to help you. You know, there's a lot of times you're going to be on your own. Is it going to suck? It's going to suck. I'm there. It's going to suck. But you'll be stronger than you ever, ever will ever realize when you come out on the other side. And I will come out on the other side of this. You know, I'm shuffling the cards, so to speak, now. I have to reshuffle my deck starting tomorrow, next week, because next week's a new week. I got to shuffle my deck because this deck is used. I've used this deck. Okay, that's not working for me. I look at it like a deck of cards. It's not working for me. Now I got to shuffle this new deck I got. You know, speaking of people asking about angel card reading, I'm still doing the readings. Oh my gosh. Over the last 4 days, it's been crazy. I'm thinking either this card deck has got somebody laying the card out for me I'm choosing, or this is just like a by chance scenario. Boy, my readings. I'll have to do another podcast on that. It's scary. You know, and my intuition is so strong anyway before the readings. I'm like, in there's no way. This is just coincidence. I've literally went by how my intuition, my gut has gone, and then look at the readings. And I'll just have to say this week has laid out perfectly on decisions whether I should make them or not. I went by my gut and instincts first, and it has not once again steered me wrong. But I enjoy the angel card readings because I believe in angels, and it's a positive way to start your day. And I do it every morning, and then I honestly am back to praying. I used to pray every day and night, and then it's like I felt like I was losing my faith because I had toxicity, a lot of toxicity in my life, and I needed to just find a way to gracefully exit and remove myself. And when you do that, you start restoring your faith. You do. I'm not a holy roller by any means. I don't sing on any boats. I don't go to Guatemala or anywhere. Sorry. don't laugh. Okay, don't start problems now, self. I connect back to where I used to be spiritually. I'm looking and going back into church, starting church again next month. Going outside of where I live, outside of the county. There's a couple of churches I've looked into. Even a couple not that far in Ohio, and I think I'm going back to my home state. I go back to church, you know. I was singing in the church choir, you know, I was active in church, and then you get around toxicity and things like that, and it's just, and then all of a sudden you start losing your faith. You can't lose your faith, but it happens. I've been there. But that helps me tremendously, you know. I pray it every morning, and I do my angel card reading. And I do a little guardian angel prayer. I have a guardian angel candle, and I light that every morning. And that's been my thing over the past week, and it's helped me. You know, you do what you have to do to help yourself spiritually out. When you're going through tough times, you know, you need to have that spiritual connection. You know, you need to have that as part of getting through those tough times, and then you need to continue that. You know, embracing that and, you know, feeding that into your soul, you know, to help you out in life in general, even when you get past the hurdles. You know, religion's always been a part of my life, and I enjoyed church. I always have, but, you know, there's reasons, you know, wasn't attending in that, not just medical. But now, you know, you realize, you know, you can attend church, and if you can't one Sunday, then you know what? That's right. You log in online, listen to sermon. I used to love him. Joel Osteen, I have that on my Sirius, and I listen to him, you know, in the car and on my phone and that, and on TV. And Joel Osteen, I love his sermons, you know, because he applies just normal life, not just from the Bible, but what we can all relate to. This is a Sunday I'm saying this. I'm going to take the trash out, by the way. I'm in this podcast just by saying this because I know I've went into multiple directions. As I'm just going to say this by experience, wisdom and knowledge is we all respond off of emotion. We do things a lot of times, most of the times, not wise, smart things off of emotion. Sometimes we do things emotionally that can have long-term permanent consequences in people's lives. You apologize where you need to apologize when you respond emotionally. You're never going to get past the past. So you have to make good with the present. You have to make peace, and you have to go one-on-one with people, period. You have to. That's just part of life and healing. You can't brush things off. You have to address them, and then you move on. File folder in your brain, you move on. But you have to know in life that logic makes a world of difference than emotion. Logic isn't wasted energy and time. It's valuable, precious time you're giving yourself to solve problems. emotion is just wasted energy from your brain as well and your heart, you know? Say that. You don't need to do that all the time, emotional. I'm not saying that you should be a robot, because God knows I preach you shouldn't, because we all have a right to feel in that. But there's a lot of times in life where you need to conserve that, you know? When your pet passes away, or people pass away, emotional, you know? You know, things in life, emotional, okay? But when you talk about problems and things like that, it's not going to do you any good, because I used to do this, responding off emotionally. It's not going to do you any good getting in confrontations, arguing with people. That's not going to do any good either. You can be passionate about stuff and have emotion. That's fine. But what I'm saying is you far benefit yourself better when you respond logically. For those that know what I'm saying, whether you're seeing a therapist or not, there's a lot of great resources and tools, a lot of great audiobooks about logical thinking, getting out of your head, emotional thinking versus logical thinking, ways to positively change your life, you know? And of course, end of the day, I'm going to say this, is I hope, you know, this podcast first and most importantly is for myself. God willing, year from now, I should be a completely different life, that's for sure, one way or another. That's no joke. But if you can gain a little bit, a piece of my life, what I've gone through, and it helps your life, then it's a win-win for both of us, right? You know? You have to put yourself first. It's not being selfish. It's life. You have to take care of you. You have to fill your glass first before you can go fill in anybody else's. And by all means, don't ever feel too proud or embarrassed or ashamed to ask for help, you know? And sometimes, depending where people are on a totem pole, you know, if it's a parent, parents are a situation, those are the people you should go to first to help, and they should be willing to help you. But for whatever situation you're not getting the help you need, you can't think of it anything but, okay, I tried. Give it time, try again. If it doesn't work, that's fine. You know what? You can't think anything of it, negative, mad, sad, whatever. You have to just move forward. You know, people have their reasons. And that's just life in general. And you can't change people. People are entitled whatever, you know? And you can't do nothing about that either. But when you're jumping through hurdles, no matter what it is in life, you got to do what you got to do to get through the hurdle. You got to think about yourself first. Period. You know? And then hopefully in time everything follows, you know, and things fall in place. But this is tough. It's tough in life. And I feel like my back's up against the wall and I'm a little like on this hurdle. And this hurdle is really, this is the highest hurdle so far. And I'm thinking, you know, I've maneuvered through all the rest of them behind me, but this one's a tough one. I've made it through all these, but this is a different kind of hurdle. And I have somebody, which is a judge, that's going to have a good part in how this hurdle is going to turn out. How I'm going to jump it, or if I need to find my way to break through it. You know, I don't know. I'll continue podcasting and updating, you know, and especially after what this hearing next month and things, you know, come out the way things come out. But you know, I didn't want to ask the public for help in finding a rental, and I don't know if that's pride, but I just, it's not the public's, my opinion, I'll still stick by it, and it's my gut is it's not the public's responsibility, and it's not. If anything, I appreciate people and those who have, you know, made recommendations or have given me ideas or links on properties, things like that. But I'm going to say this because this is true, because I had another text message from a property owner. What was it, yesterday, the day before? Is these companies are wanting three times your income monthly. They want to see it. If a rental is $3,000, they want to see you make three times that. I run across one four times, and they told me things are changing. Is it ridiculous? Yes. Is it feasible? No. Is there a lot of rentals to be staying open from it? Yes. The only people who are able to get into these rentals are people that are transferred from jobs or somebody who makes a heck of a lot of money. Doctor, lawyer, somebody. You know, but majority of society and that, they can't get into these things. This is why people are homeless. This is why there's a lot of homelessness in the United States. And why people from out of the country on these visas and that went the hell out and get back to their other country where they can feasibly live. Because this isn't the place, you know? And cost of living is ridiculous in the United States, and that's the truth. It's not feasible. Rentals aren't feasible. In somebody in my situation, it's not feasible. You know, you have to have at least two incomes going. You know, so my only option right now at this point is I need to get in a mortgage. And, you know, because of the situation of where I'm at, I'm going to have a cosigner temporary for a year, if not less. That way the loan could be redone. A cosignee, or however it would pan out, could be removed. The title, everything, will redo the loan, redo everything. That's where I'm at now. If not, you know, I'm going to have to come down with the house proceeds sale. You take that money, and then you have to have another good chunk of money to pay for the rest of the house. And that's where I'm at. Should I set up, somebody said, should you set up a GoFundMe? Should you set up, you know, something for people to help? I'm sure anybody would in my situation. I'm still working on ego and pride and feeling that that's not the public's responsibility. And that's why I haven't done so. Because there are people who could help. And I'm not talking about financially, just, you know, with a pen. Maybe that's why I haven't went that route yet. I don't know if I will. I think I'm just, you know, praying on a wind and a prayer, you know, that the hearing next month, once everything's set and this huge file and another file attorney has is a safe, if the judge understands and I'll be able to get on a different type of work permit. And it's not going to be the same that I was on because my health status changed. And for people who are naive, don't act foolish. You know, don't assume anything on anybody, on any type of disability, because there's different types of disability and every case is truly unique and different. And any caseworker would tell you that. But people in society just don't understand. And please understand too, when people are disabled, like anybody else who's sick, people have their good days and bad days. Don't judge people when they're having a good day, okay? Because that's just the body and the good Lord giving you a gift to be able to breathe a little bit and to feel a little bit of normalcy.